First Corinthians chapter 9, where we've been looking at the life of Paul. This is part 11 on Paul. This one is All Things to All. We're going to conclude on the series on Paul next week. It'll be the final in that series for now. But today we look at All Things to All. What we've noticed regularly in looking at the journeys of Paul and his life from the time that he was witness to till the time near the end of his life, he did what was required to preach the gospel. We've seen his conversion and his preaching at Damascus and Jerusalem, his teaching with Barnabas at Antioch for a year where they were first called Christians, his preaching at Paphos to the proconsul and the sorcerer, at Antioch and Pisidia, preaching in the synagogue, and then the start of the pattern of going first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. He's preaching in Lystra, where he was stoned and left for dead, a place at which he would later meet up with Timothy. His making known of the gospel that he was preaching among the Gentiles at the Council of Jerusalem, and the first indications of not full acceptance by the Jerusalem church. And the visits later on to the various churches to tell about to read the council letter. His vision in Troas of the men from Macedonia and their preaching at the riverside in Philippi. The imprisonment in Philippi of Paul and Silas, which led to the jailkeeper's whole family being saved. The preaching at Thessalonica and Berea with constant disruption caused by the Judeans, as Jesus Christ had told him when he was first witnessed to, would happen in his ministry. His making known of the unknown God at Athens. His extended time of preaching at Corinth, from where also he wrote 1 and 2 Thessalonians, the first epistle centered on the hope of Christ's return. His preaching for 3 years in Ephesus, where so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed, and special miracles were wrought. And around that time he also wrote 1 and 2 Corinthians. His follow-up visit to Corinth to address the issues caused by the epistles to ensure that his preachings had not been in vain, and then at the same time, most likely, the writing of Romans. His capture and imprisonment in Jerusalem and Caesarea, and his trip to Rome, and even in those difficult circumstances, his continued insistence to preach to both small and great that which Jesus Christ had commissioned him to do. So a lifetime of making known the gospel of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? This statement of am I not free underscores much of what is discussed in this chapter. And the whole idea that is taught of all things are allowable but not necessarily profitable is very important to understand. If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Mine answer to them that examine me is this: have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister or wife as well as other apostles and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? The answer is, of course. Verse 6, or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? You don't fight against your own army. Who plants the vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. You know, doth God take care for oxen? The whole logic is obvious. People don't plant things to see the fruit of them. You know, you don't take care of flocks unless you see back. And here, the whole idea is that, you know, God didn't just say that for the sake of the animals. He said it for the sake of people as well. And this is the argument he's making. Verse 10, or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? So what probably was happening in Corinth at the time was they were saying, well, how come we have to support Paul or whatever else? And he said, well, rightfully speaking, in the gospel, the way God had designed it, that was the rightful thing for him to be able to do. Verse 12, if others be partakers of this power over you, or not we rather? And, you know, the whole argument that he makes here about that it was okay for him here in the Corinthian church to be supported by the church in what he was doing, that is not the key point that he's making. He tells them, yeah, this is a lie, but this is the key point. Verse 12, we have not used this power. He said, yes, we could have done that, and rightfully so. God has said that's okay to do, lest we should but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. And that is the key point that he is making in this chapter. It is not some kind of, you know, argument or discussion to the Corinthians. It's a bit of a reproof to them, yes, because they shouldn't have been saying that, and he has the right because he was preaching. But the key point he's making is not that. The key point that he's making, that they do everything for the sake of the gospel in their lives. That, and you'll see it bigger here, but that's the exact point that he's making. Verse 13, do you not know that they which minister about holy things live off the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. You know, in the Old Testament, those who served, the Levites, the sacrifice, remember, they actually defiled that. They were taking more than they were supposed to take. No, but they were allowed to live off the sacrifice. That's what he's saying here. Those who ministered were allowed to live. Even so, verse 14, hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live off the gospel. Again, he makes the point that he was preaching at the time, and he had but verse 15, I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things that it should be so done unto me. Isn't that awesome? Just wonderful. He says, I'm not telling you this, he said, because I want it to be done. That wasn't the whole point. Why was he telling them? For it was better for me to die than that that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a stewardship of the gospel is committed unto me. He had the choice. He had been given the ministry by Jesus Christ to preach the gospel. And he said, look, if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if I do it unwillingly, I still have the responsibility to do it. He still had the responsibility. He took it very seriously. The stewardship of the gospel was given to him. And he said, I have two ways I can do this. I can do it willingly or not willingly. Regardless, I am going to do it. And the whole point, the whole context here is not that, you know, okay, how come you guys aren't supporting me? He's not even saying that. He's saying, yeah, that is right, and you guys shouldn't be talking about that. But the key thing is making the gospel known. It's a really good lesson to us, right? How important is the gospel to us and in our ability to make it known in the various situations, circumstances that we come up against in life? You know, and for us, it's not our livelihood. For Paul, it was his livelihood, in fact, wasn't it? That's all he did, except he was also a tent maker. That's true, he did work. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge. And we'll see, that is the immediate reward, that he didn't have to charge for it. But later on, you'll see that there is a long term. We saw that last week. There's a longer term reward as well. That I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And that's the whole point here of preaching the gospel. Doing whatever was necessary to save as many as possible. And if that meant in this circumstance of Paul's life specifically, in his life at the time, if that meant that, you know, they didn't support him in Corinth at the time, it wasn't the significant thing for him to be thinking about. Still, the significant thing for Paul to be thinking about at the time was that he was given the responsibility to preach the gospel, as we've been given as well. Not like Paul, but we too have the responsibility to make known the gospel. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, which underscores the truth that at this time he was no longer a Jew. That's very clear. Clear recognition that he was no longer a Jew, because now he had to become a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. And we saw that, you know, when he... and again, this idea of being all things to all is not something that is done without the Spirit of God. You don't just say, I'm going to, you know, he did it with this, you know, we saw him where he circumcised Timothy at Lystra, yet he didn't circumcise Titus at Jerusalem. Right? It's not to be done without the Spirit of God, but he was became a Jew. He purified himself at James's request, right? Remember he arrived? He didn't have to do that. You know, and you might be tempted to think, well, why would you do that? You know, put yourself under the law. Aren't you free from the law? He says, look, I don't care about those things. It doesn't matter. Those things don't matter. What matters is the gospel. Whether I'm going to purify myself, I don't care. I'm just going to do that because I can reach somebody. He purified himself. He confronted Peter about circumcision in Antioch. Peter was not being all things to all. That was hurting the gospel. That's why he said, what are you doing, Peter? You know, it has to be done by the Spirit of God, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. He never went outside the bounds of his respect and reverence for the one true God and for his Lord Jesus Christ. But if he had to go outside the law, he went outside the law. Why? So they could gain them that are without the law. See, the context of this whole chapter, what's the important thing? The gospel being made known and people being saved. In fact, isn't that God's great desire in Timothy? He wants all men to be saved. That's the point he's making here. And we do whatever is necessary to get to that point. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all, that I might by all means save some. We'll come back to this quickly, but let's go to Romans chapter 14 for a second. Romans 14. He said, to the weak became I as weak. This is a really important thing to understand. Romans 14 talks about this. Verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not the doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. So he's talking here about people do different things in life that are, and we'll see it here, that are of no consequence as far as the gospel is concerned. And there is no point in life to be getting all excited about those things if it harms the movement of the gospel. Verse 4, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master. Look, you don't have to, you know, tell so-and-so to do this or not do that. He's got his own master. He's got to stand before the Lord himself. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. By the way, this whole section is not talking about us not reproving one another. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about judging one another. There's a difference. If someone is off of God's word, you have every right to bring that to their attention and say, listen, you know, you shouldn't be doing this. It's not biblical. But when it comes to those things that are not off or breaking the commandments of God, those distinctions that people tend to make, well, who did you vote for in the last election? Well, how the hell could you vote for him? What the hell's wrong? Aren't you a Christian? Well, hang on. Back up a minute. You know, watch it. Verse 5, one man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. People look at things differently. Does it matter if I choose March 14th to be the day that I want to celebrate my love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's not a special day. Well, I want to make it a special day. What does the word say? Go ahead. Make it a special day. Have fun. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Verse 6, he that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. You see, it's like, there's a lot of ways, a lot of things people do in life that have nothing to do with the importance of the gospel in their lives. Verse 7, for none of us liveth to himself, no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we're the Lord's. For this end Christ died, both died and rose, and revived that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Someday, you know, there is a great judgment coming. You know, and all those things are going to be found wanting or not wanting. And some things you're going to get rewarded for. Some things you're not going to get rewarded. And, you know, we understand that. Verse 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. That's going to happen. Let us not therefore, because that's going to happen, and that's going to be the final judgment, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather. And here's the key, that you, no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. To the weak became I as weak, Paul said. What that means, you don't put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in a brother's way. We don't do something that causes them to fall in their relationship with God. I know and I'm persuaded, verse 40, by Lord Jesus, that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it's unclean. Well, I don't want to drink beer. I think beer is unclean. Well, God bless you. Don't drink beer. It's wonderful. You're just the best. God loves you. The Lord's coming back. We like to have wine every third day. Well, that's wonderful. Enjoy your glass of wine. See, neither one or the other has anything to do with the kingdom of God, does it? Nothing. To the weak became I as weak. You can almost see Paul saying, you guys want to have a beer with the Gentiles in Corinth? Let's have a beer, guys. And then he's at Jerusalem. We do not drink here. I'm not going to drink either. You see, it's got nothing to do with the gospel. And that's the point. And sometimes people get very excited and very adamant and very emotional about issues that have nothing to do with the gospel. That's what he's talking about here. Verse 15. But thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. In other words, if you know that he doesn't eat meat and he thinks that it's unchristian to eat meat and you eat meat in front of them, that's not very loving. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. Yeah, for you it's free. You know that you have the freedom. I remember Corinthians, the whole section, he goes, am I not free? You know you have the freedom, but don't use that to cause the other person to stumble, because the more important thing is the gospel in their lives. Verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith we may edify one another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. To the weak became I as weak. So he wouldn't do anything to cause them to stumble. And that particular issue in Corinth, you know, was causing them to stumble. And he said, you know what? I don't care. I don't need you to support me. That's not the point. The point is the gospel. To the weak he became weak. As thou faith have it thyself before God, happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith whatsoever, not if it's sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. It's very, very important to understand this. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. this is where you live. This is where we live our lives amongst the fellowships and believers and people we meet, even at work, you know. And, you know, sometimes people get more excited about politics, and sometimes people get more excited about food, and some people get more excited about whatever. And none of it has anything to do with the gospel. None of it. How does that help me walk with God? How does it help me walk in His power? How does it help me to walk without sin consciousness? How does it help me to walk in love? All the things, the questions we could ask one another. Well, is this issue we're bringing up, is that going to help anybody? Or is it probably, or could it cause them to stumble in their walk with God? That's what he was talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Sorry. Now, touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing. I like that verse. if you ever feel a little bit proud, just read that verse. I think I know something. Oh, actually, I don't know anything. Yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. Idols are a waste of time. They're nothing. They're useless. They have malice. They don't speak. Ears. They don't kill. All that stuff we know about idols. But though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or earth, as lords, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. That's it. Very simple, isn't it? God's word is simple. We understand all other stuff is nonsense. We know there's only one God and one Lord Jesus Christ. That's the simplicity of it. Howbeit, verse 7, there is not in every man that knowledge. See, they don't all understand that. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. See, same issue, same issue. We don't want to cause people to stumble. And he said, your liberty. In other words, guess what? You are free to do what you want. Are you not? Are you free to eat or not eat? Isn't that what he said? Right. And he said, yeah, and that's the whole key again here. For if any man, verse 10, see thee which hast knowledge, set it in meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? Right. Because he sees you eating. Even though you're doing it because you're free. But he might see you doing it and say, you know what? Well, maybe I should be eating the idols as well. But you're doing it out of freedom. And he's going to follow you and cause to stumble. And then, and this is an example of idols, but the same truth is for anything in life where we cause someone to stumble. Verse 11, and through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish. You have the knowledge of freedom. He doesn't yet, or he or she doesn't yet. And by my actions, I have caused this person to misunderstand, you know, serving God. Verse 12. But when you sin, so against the brethren, and that's what God calls it, he calls that sin. Can you imagine us talking about things that are not helpful to the gospel and causing people to stumble, and God calls it sin? That's what it is. So sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Pretty serious, isn't it? It's not just something, oh, it's just a little conversation. No, we do not want to cause people to stumble in any area of life. You know, well, this is the best diet you should be eating. 85% of Christians say you should vote for this person. And all these kind of things that we talk about, I'm saying in general that are talked about in life, has nothing to do with a man or woman walking for God. Verse 13, wherefore if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. I know, he's saying, I know I could eat meat, but when that guy is here who has not gotten to that truth yet or understands this to be true, I'm never going to eat meat in front of him or with him or anything because I do not want to make him stumble. Okay, let's go back to 1 Corinthians, the next chapter over. Where were we? Verse 22, to the weak became I as weak. So we a little bit of more understanding what that means and how that is not just a statement, but it impacts your whole life and all your associations with believers as you live and walk in life, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all, that I might by all means save some. And that's the key. This I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. This is what we looked at last week. The high calling, that was the greater reward that Paul knew was coming. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things, that they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I as not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. See, he went as far as necessary, but never so far that he will be rejected himself for the prize. Not salvation. That's a certainty, that he would be rejected for the prize. He never went that far, but he went as far as necessary that by all means he might save some. Well, I don't like going to those kind of places to witness. Well, too bad for you. You know, I don't think that I, you know, all the various emotional and five senses things that we can come up with, and reasons and our, you know, our preferences and all the things that we come up with, Paul said he was willing to put them all aside for the sake of the gospel. Look at Romans chapter 1. His general attitude in his ministry is captured well in Romans chapter 1, where he wrote in verse 15, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The power of the gospel, the importance of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that importance, he was ready to preach it. Whatever it took. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 10. We are fools for Christ's sake, but we are wise in Christ. But ye are wise in Christ, sorry. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. This is kind of irony here. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst. And this is what they were going through to make the gospel known. Hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. How would that be for a job description? Want to join the ministry? Here's what you get. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Look what they went through. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 12. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. So some things that happened to him, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest, and so he's in prison, in all the palace and all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. So these guys are preaching to cause him more trouble. And, you know, if you were a Christian and you're in jail and people are saying things to cause you more trouble, you might say, ah, the hell with you guys. What are you guys doing? Can't you wisen up? Verse 17, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. So, you know, various reasons for making the gospel known. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense, this is an amazing statement, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, and yea, will rejoice, even though it might have caused him more problems. He said he rejoiced in the gospel being preached. Can you imagine? What a heart for the gospel. You know, I know they're preaching to hurt me, but hey, they're preaching. And guess what? That might lead to some, by all means, saving some. And that's what he was interested in. What a great heart for the Word of God. What a great heart for the ministry that Paul had. Look at 1 Thessalonians. We're almost finished. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 8. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, and this is, you know, when they came to Thessalonica, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. It's sort of the same thing he wrote in Corinthians, isn't it? Because in Corinth they said, no, you know, we have a right to live off the gospel, but we... I missed verse 8. Let's go back to verse 8. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls. Now, what exactly, for you were dear, because you were dear unto us, what exactly does that mean? In other words, it's not just about preaching the gospel, is it? It means that accompanying the preaching of the gospel is whatever necessary of your life, your talents, your energies, your patience, your long-suffering, your wisdom, your whatever, to make the your own soul, which you mean, in other words, your whole life is into it. You know, your goal is to get this person to the point they believe and have eternal life. And so when they did that, it was, yeah, we preach. You know, it's not just a matter of saying the words. He put his whole life and soul into it. That's a pretty great commitment. Verse 9, for you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, whenever, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. So again, they did their own work so that they wouldn't be short of funds or whatever necessary, and they didn't ask for it. We preached unto you the gospel of God, and you can read the rest of it. It's just a wonderful section about, you know, loved them as a father and loved them as a nursing mother and did whatever was necessary to make known the gospel. And we'll close in 2 Timothy chapter 3. We closed here last week. We'll probably close here next week again. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 14. But continue thou, Timothy, in the things that which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. It's interesting, that verse was also said when we're reading that section about that he's going to judge the quick and the dead, talking about taking care of the weak. And his appearing in the kingdom, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And that's exactly what Paul had done in his ministry from the time he was witness to until the later days of the last years of his ministry. Verse 17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And he will do the same for you and me. Preaching the gospel is never a matter of convenience, is it? And Paul was a great example of, you know, being all things to all and making known the gospel. You know, and times are changing constantly. You know, the times we live in today are not the same as the times that were in Paul's day, are they? The times that our kids will live in the next 30, 40 years of life might not be, or most likely will not be, the same as the times we live in today. So how do we adjust? What are the adjustments that we need to make, right, in our lives, or the lives of people we minister to? What are the adjustments we need to make to be all things to all? You know, the same lesson that Paul taught us in by his example. What are the things we need to make? What adjustments to be all things to all, so that we also, by all means, might be able to save some? You know, and that's something that we probably will be thinking about till the Lord comes back. But well worth thinking about, because the importance of the gospel cannot be overstressed. Mm.